Yurt?
Like,
you ever heard that? Yurt?
Why you are?
Yurt?
Yurt? No, I haven't.
Y-U-R-T.
Yurt?
Yurt?
With the hard T?
Yeah, yurt.
That's a thing, though.
That's a thing. Yurt.
No, I see that's a...
Have you seen the Teenage Mutant Ninja movie?
No, not yet. Dude. I'm so behind on it. I gotta watch the animated one on Netflix first. About.
That's what I'm saying.
Oh,
the anime one that I recommended.
Correct.
Yes.
The time
but
travel.
But I'm saying the one with Seth Rogen?
No, I haven't seen it. Did it say yurt?
Yurt.
Wait, but yurts are actual things. They're
I understand. There's people can live in them, but that's what they say in New York. Yurt.
Yurt. Did they want something to compete with the East Coast, West Coast?
I don't know.
What did they say in the Midwest? Yo.
Yeah. Yo, Lordy, yeah,
that's a different coast. Yeah, I know. Yo, la,
I don't know what they say in the Mid. If you're from the Mideast, please let us Midwest, let us know.
If you're from the Mid.
Yeah, if you're just Mid, let us know what you say.
So it makes me wonder, when you get into audition... Wait, hang on. Hold on. Who are you?
I'm David Morales. You can find me everywhere at Active Poet. And this... My giggling co-host over here.
I'm Tossy Alabastro. You can find me everywhere on socials at Tossy Alabastro. And this is
Art Time Job,
a support podcast for aspiring and working artists by us, continuing to aspire to other things and also working artists.
Yeah, yeah.
And we've spent many of our podcast conversations about really collecting stories, for one.
Correct.
Because we're catching up, but also... in the process, hopefully providing some insight and tools, tips for you to approach your work in different ways that might be successful.
Yes.
And today's topic is about auditions.
Yeah, in our acting process.
Yeah. And I, you know, as I'm actually just speaking that out loud, it makes me wonder, like, in the other art sphere, visual arts, photography, devising work, I wonder what tools from auditions actually transfer over. This is something that comes to me quite frequently. I'm, you know, hanging out with other artists that are not just actors and watching how they navigate the world. It's not too dissimilar in that, like, okay, some goals are like, I want to get in an exhibition. How do you do that, right?
Yeah.
And we'll at some point we'll bring someone in to talk about that, because totally. I'm sure there's many different ways.
Right.
Photography exhibition, gallery exhibition. Yeah. But I feel like in each one of those, you have to meet other people.
Facts.
You have to be on the other side of the proverbial table.
I mean, but nowadays with social media, you could be like the person online and everyone will want to see your work. And then you could just like reach out to like a museum being like, look how many followers I have. Can I?
It depends on the museum, I imagine. Because some have those interesting standards of like, well, what are you trying to say?
This is true. Right. But I'm saying like the clout goes a long way nowadays.
It does. You're right.
There's so many actors now that can break in because they have skits and they have clout, bro.
I don't know that world as well. I would love to dig in because they do ask that now, it feels like. I remember I remember auditioning for... an agency, and on that Google form at the very bottom somewhere, it was like, how many followers, social media followers? Yeah. I'm like, this is an interesting question.
Yeah, I just got onto a different casting website that my agent told me to get on, and one of the questions was like, link your social medias. And like as soon as I linked it, the bottom thing was like, how many followers on each? And I was like, interesting.
Well, I it's weird. I didn't get that didn't occur to me until I was doing stuff with the influencer side of video games, doing that world. And I was like, huh, okay, that makes sense to me.
It does.
Because devs.
Part of the business.
It is. But to see it then in the acting world, where so much of acting is very in the room, you know, blood, sweat, all that stuff. How many followers do you have? I'm like, whoa.
Yeah.
Interesting.
I feel like it's all over art now. It's just like, how well can you market yourself? That's all they're asking.
Yeah. Oh, sure.
I mean, that's why,
value, bringing value.
And that's The Rock now can put it in his contract, be like, oh, you want me to promote this? It's $1 million.
Per, yeah. Per, no, that makes sense. That makes sense.
How much do you want to make some more money, bro?
There's a show right now, and for those of you who are listening, watching out there, this show's probably going to be long gone, but it's a crowded fire called Edit Annie, and it is about that it is about like creator content creators. Mm. That's all I know. I really want to see it, but it's gonna be closed by the time I'm free again. So I'm just But that's on the other side, right? Like, of seeing a show. Before you even get in a show, you gotta audition.
Yes, sir.
This is, you know, kind of circling back to that topic. And normally, I'd share a story about that, but I think we shared this story because we carpooled together to this audition.
Oh, yeah.
The show is now out. It's open last...
No, this show is now gone. They're listening.
Oh, shoot.
I'm going to see it this weekend. You saw it last weekend.
Yeah. What's the show called?
Miss Christie.
Yeah, by Heidi Armbruster. Blucer? Sorry, Heidi. I apologize.
It's at Theater Works. A bunch of our friends are in it.
We carpooled together.
Before that, we both took dialect training.
Did we know that we were doing it? I forget. Did we? I forget if we said, hey, I'm going to do a dialect coach, or if it was just after the fact. Like, I took a dialect coach.
I think it was after the fact.
Okay.
We were both talking about auditioning for this, and you're like, oh, me too. And I was like, what? And you said you had a completely different dialect than I did. But the fact that we are both willing to invest in a dialect coach to possibly get this.
To get a callback.
To get a callback.
Yeah.
I think that's a big thing about auditioning. It's like, yes, you want to book the role, but like the first step is like, get a callback.
I was just talking to a friend about this. I'm like, I, for the longest time, only tracked callbacks. I never tracked if I got the role or not. Because that was like, did I do a good enough job in the first place?
Yeah.
Right? In the initial meeting, let's say a stranger that you're auditioning for, it's a whole bag of difference when it's someone you're auditioning for that you already know.
Yeah.
Versus someone that's a stranger. You use some similar tools, of course, but like the mindset is so different.
Yeah.
And in this case, we got called in by someone we do know that we've both worked with.
I've only worked with them once.
Okay. But we, yeah, I guess you're right.
I feel like you've worked with them way more than I have.
Directorial. Yeah, okay, sure.
Yeah.
But then we both then auditioned for someone.
I've auditioned for them a bunch of times.
Oh, right. Oh, wait, you've worked, but you, as far as the director of the show, you've worked with Giovanna.
Oh, yes, you're right. You're at
Gio. On a podcast.
Yeah, Marvel podcast.
That's exciting.
That was amazing.
Ugh. Anyway, that's a topic for a different day because I want to hear about this. Because you worked, just to go a little off tangent, you worked with the AT&T spokesperson.
Yeah, Melania Weintraub.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, yes, what a time.
Yes. And Leo Shang. Mm-hmm. He's on the L World. They are on the L Word.
Mm-hmm.
There's so many talented people. Her name's blanking me, but she's on Broadway right now. There's so many talented people, and I was just like, how am I here?
Because you're also a talented people.
Yeah. Rena Beth was on that project too.
Really?
And so was my lady. What's her name? She was on Gilmore Girls. She's always...
Oh, Emily.
Emily
Corona. We love it.
Yeah.
So there's some good mix of local and like other region talent. That's great.
Yeah.
This topic is so exciting to me, auditions, that we can go really anywhere with this. But I think at the end of the episode, I really want people who are listening and interested in it to walk away with one thing that they could take with them to the next one.
I'm gonna give you a whole goodie bag.
I love this. They're gonna have to go through our Patreon.
I'm gonna get you a lot.
Okay, great. So this is the first. I'm very timid about this topic in a fun way.
Yeah,
because I'm gonna just interview you.
You're gonna interview me? All
right. Well, I mean, we'll talk. It. So, okay. So we both took
dialect coaches.
Here, why don't we do this? I'm just going to tell the audience, to you listening, we both did not book this role.
We didn't even get a call back.
Are we discouraged?
No.
No.
I kind of went in there thinking I wasn't going to get it.
Yeah, but you went in with...
Of course.
With as many of your tools and yourself as possible.
Yep.
For this particular role, which for those of you who were not involved and want to know a little bit more, this role requires... two completely different characterizations, right?
Yeah.
walk us through that when you get called to audition for this and you read the script and you say, oh, it's two tracks.
Yes.
Completely different. What was
different time periods?
Different time periods. Yeah. So I know we both didn't get it, but that doesn't necessarily mean that we weren't necessarily that we didn't do a good job.
Yeah.
Right. So really good lesson to learn here is that you can do an excellent job and you could completely embody this role, but there's so many other factors that go into casting that are beyond.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it takes you having to be on the other side of the table to really understand, like, oh, right, there are other people that need to be cast with you.
Yeah.
Your rhythm, your cadence, all of that goes
into consideration. How do they look along with you? Are they casting it older and you look too young? Mm-hmm, like, mm-hmm. So many things.
So that's even knowing that, those exterior factors, where do you place that when you are approaching a role to audition for?
Well, first and foremost, going back to the double track, I love when I can audition for two characters in the same spot, because a lot of times I have like a million choices I want to do. Mm-hmm. So the more characters they give me, the more I can be like, all right, I wanted to show how cool and smooth I am on this character, but then I could show how quirky I am with this one. So I was able to like mold those. So I felt good mm-hmm. in that, and I made them laugh. So usually that's my like
barometer.
Yeah. And I was like, if I can make you laugh when I'm trying to make you laugh, for sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
What was the question? Sorry. I just want to talk about that first.
No, that's great.
What do I go in with to auditions?
Well, knowing that there are so many other elements out of your hand.
Oh, yeah.
Does that, what mindset does that put you in when you enter that room?
Well, number one, we talked about just trying to get the call back. So it forces you not to get too ahead of yourself. Like, oh, if I get this job, it'll be freaking amazing.
I'm just applauding right now. Like, that's huge.
Yeah, don't get ahead. Just one thing at a time. Like, try to be as off book as you can be.
Mm-hmm.
I know life happens and there's a million things. Sometimes you get like 5 pages and you're like, I got 2 monologues. Like, do as much as you can.
Mm-hmm.
Make strong choices on who you think this character is. That acting teacher always tell me, like, what story do you want to tell?
Oh, yeah.
And what do you want to bring to this character? So just, like, really focus on that. But also, be flexible enough for them to be like, yeah, that was good. Can you do it all sad? So you'd be like, that was not any of my choices at all.
Yeah.
And if you don't practice different ways, yeah, you might get thrown off in the room.
There's this really great chapter in the Creative Living from Rick Rubin. Or I can't actually remember the title, but where it says, the more that you can practice the going 180 from your instincts, the more well off you'll be.
Mm.
And the whole idea behind that is you don't have to change who you are as a person, like 180, but like the way you approach problems, if you can, just because it works one way doesn't mean it's always going to work that one way.
Oh, true.
So yeah. In the way that we see light because we see dark, and the way that we see dark because we know what light is, you need to have that in your work as an artist. And so you saying that, like, really.
Yeah, practice different ways. Yeah. Because just because that's how you think the character is, the director might be like, no, that's not how I see it, you know? Also, the best advice I got for auditioning was in college, and they said, no matter how the casting person is or the director is looking that day or how they are acting that day, they are rooting for you.
Mm-hmm.
They want you to be it so they don't have to look any further. Yeah. So even if they're like, thanks, next, they might have to go through like 100 people, but they're hoping you're it.
Yeah.
They're your cheerleaders, you know? So as soon as I switch that perspective, rather than them being like, all right, we'll call you, and I'm like, they hate me, you know? Just being like, no, they have a job to do, and they're just being very thorough.
Yeah.
Cool, you know? I'm not looking for friends in the audition room.
Right.
It's a blood sport.
So what, I love this, and I also agree with that they're cheering you on. Walk us through, and you're welcome to ask me these questions too. Some of the you've already brought it up, but because it happened so quickly and I was listening intently.
Yeah.
What are some of the questions given the script that what are your personal prompts that get you into creating character? Obviously, at an audition, that first, you don't have to have it memorized.
No.
But you need to know what
you should though.
Well, the callbacks you should for sure.
I
want difference to think, in here. Yeah, difference, you know, in the way we work. Yeah, I love this.
I try my hardest for the initial audition, self tape, whatever, to be as off book as I can.
Sure.
Even I know it's bad. Even if I like mess up some words, paraphrase it. Mm-hmm. I think it just shows you care a little bit more.
Yeah,
you take this stuff seriously.
Understand well. Understanding what's happening, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, if you know, like, you're going to mess up without, like, it's good to just have it in your hands. Like, at theater auditions, I always have the script in my hand,
mm-hmm.
even if I'm off book.
Totally, yeah.
But, like, I know
it's a good look.
It's a good look.
Yeah, yeah.
You know? Yeah. But, yeah, so you were saying, sorry.
So let me ask you this before anything.
Yeah.
Why, so we just said it's a skateboard gun.
Yeah.
Wow, thank you. It's a train. It's a train. Yeah, yeah.
Yee.
This is so, I'm very excited about these things. So it's a good look, we both said. Why for those who might be listening, like, well, why would it be a bad look to have no script in your hand and fully memorized?
I think you have the script in your hand just in case you go up on a line.
Mm-hmm.
But also, unless you are like 100%, you know it there and back, maybe you have a one liner or whatever, you don't need the script. A lot of times in like film auditions, they'll have like the camera, and where you're supposed to look, they'll have it, your script written out.
Oh,
so you can just look at it. So
times have changed.
Yeah, times have changed. But I also want to think for those who are not as trained with a script, you'll get your head down a lot more when they want to see your eyes
mm-hmm.
connecting with your scene partner. But if you're like, yeah, you know, you're like, you drop off from the scene
in that
relation. So that's why I just like to have it out of my hand. It's like mm-hmm, every mm-hmm. time I was talking to somebody about acting, I'm like, you can't really play until you're memorized.
Yeah, that's just true. That's why they're like, oh, if we had one more week before we closed, because you're off book, yeah. book.
As soon as you're off book, that's when the work and the fun happens.
Yeah, you know? Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Self-tape or in person?
Doesn't matter to me.
If you had to pick?
If I had to pick, assuming that my self-tape setup's always up, which clearly it's not. This is where I usually film. Mm-hmm. I would say self-tape. These days, God, this is such a, if it's someone new that I've never worked with and auditioned with, in person, if it's someone I already know and they know my work, self-tape.
Hmm. Interesting.
So I would say like 51% in person.
Wow.
51% at this point.
You're 50-50, but leaning just a little bit over.
Just thought like, achoo. Oh, I guess I'm in person.
Yeah, I guess.
What about you?
You know, I definitely think I can show people better, like, who they're working with when I'm in person. Like, I feel like we're really good at winning the room.
Yeah.
Like, you know, mm-hmm. we've talked about that. Like, you want to show people who they're working with. You know, be like, how are you doing today? Oh, good. You know, just a little bit, not to go and to be like, what was your life story?
Where'd yeah, you want to go camping?
Yeah, you want to go camping. Like, if you need anything, I can be that person. But just like to show who you are, you know?
Yeah.
I think you get that better with in person, but I don't know. I'm a self-tape guy now. Like, I will.
You got your reps in.
Yeah. And I think I understand it a lot mm-hmm. more. I'll pick self-tape over in-person any day now.
So what you said, you understand it a lot more. What parts of it were revelatory to you, or like what surprised you?
Where to look, that I can watch it back. I don't know why when I used to do self-takes, I used to like not think it's okay to watch it back and like not be able to like stop. I'll be like, no, I'm recording it and I have to do it now. You know, I'm like... Oh, yeah. Nowadays, when I do a self-tape, if it's not feeling right, I'll watch back what I did, critique it, and then go back, to drawing board and go. Like, it's more of a, like, it's kind of like sketch comedy for me and, like, creating skits, you know, in the sense of, like, I can watch back, be like, that didn't look like how I thought it was going to. So yeah. I'm more critical about myself. But in the room, like, pressure's on. It is what it is, whatever happens, which I like. I like that high stakes of it. But I just try to bring that over to self-tapes.
Yeah.
I don't know. I enjoy how I get a play in a self-tape.
Yes. I like the artistry involved in doing a self-tape recording. And I think it's because I'm comfortable with my tools.
Yeah, me too.
So I could totally imagine someone who's not versed in the equipment. That's just another layer of stress.
Yeah.
So I think it's good to acknowledge like access needs.
Yeah.
And I'll, you know, the reason I said, oh, you know, 51% is because I don't have a car. Yeah, right. So my stress comes from planning the trip to an audition. It's like,
interesting, but you still chose 51% going in person.
Yeah, because I think there's that adventure side of me that's like, okay, well, if I'm already out there and the audition's at like 10.
You make a day out of it then.
I make a day out of it. So so there's that thing, right? Like, and we'll get into post-audition rituals.
Yeah.
Well, actually, let's get into pre-audition rituals, which I think are incredibly important too.
Yeah, totally.
Do you, first of all, do you have any rituals? And secondly, if you do have rituals, do you, how often do you, would you say percentage-wise, have you stuck with it?
First, I get an audition, usually in the mix of everything else. I'm like, oh, I got to audition. And then I quickly switch it to like, I get audition.
Oh, look at you go.
But like, you know, you always get auditions when there's so much other stuff to do. You never get them when you're like,
at a lull.
Man, I wish I had something to audition for right now. Oh, thanks, agent.
When it rains, it pours. Is that the situation?
It's always, okay. Always like that. And then immediately I see what it's for and like how much dialogue do I have? Because time, I have to like, you know, see what the time is. You know, if it's for a theater, number one, I will always ask the company, can I read the play? Because there's been so many times, and I should know this, always read what you're about to get into. Because there's been times I'm like, yeah, for sure. And I like showed up and I was like, why did I say yes to this? But I said yes, and I have to be a man of my word.
Yeah.
You know?
That's a great topic. I think younger artists are not trained to say, hey, can I read the whole script? Or ask for those things, right? Like, that's a permissions thing.
You're allowed to do that. But I also think as a younger actor, it was okay for me to do some of those things because you're building your reps, you're meeting people who are like going through war with you. You're like, why are we here? You know?
Yeah.
So I think as a younger actor, it's good to get your reps up, build the resume and be like, okay, now that I've done this, I never want to work there again. I never want to work with that person again. It's good to like,
know.
But also like, oh, I love this person's work. And like, man, this company treats me so great. You know, it's like, it's good to know those things.
Can I share with you something I read recently?
No.
Okay, thanks. There's a, and I actually posted about it. It's write your user manual. What's your personal user manual? And basically part of that is how do you want / communicate to others how you want to be treated with as an artist or as a person working. What's your user manual? Because not everyone's going to know, right? And some people are better about like, hey, man, it's my boundary, whatever.
Yeah.
But some are maybe timid or they're not raised that way or whatever. And it got me thinking about a recent audition I had where they sent me a script and that PDF was ass, like the scan of it.
It's
terrible. Like that middle, like clearly it's been scanned from a Samuel French book, right? So like the middle portion didn't fully get scanned, so it's like blurry. I'm like, this is not acceptable. And I wrote them back. I was like, do you have a better scan of this?
Ooh.
Or do you have a physical copy I can get?
Ooh.
Ultimately, I had to reach out to someone else who had tangentially like worked on that play to get their version of it.
Wow.
Which was better scanned. And I'm like, this is not acceptable. Do not send this out to who you're asking to audition, because what is this? Yeah. Half-assed? Like I got real upset. But that's that thing of like, if you're new to the game, you're just gonna shrug and go, okay.
Yeah, this is what it is.
This is what it is. But doesn't have to be that way. No, you have to hold the other party accountable to like your success. Like,
how do you
perform at the best you can when like, oh, I can't even read, I'll make up this word.
Facts.
What's your user manual, right?
Yeah, it's a good thing of going through. I never thought about it like that. I guess mine would just be like, just talk to me nicely. And let me know why you want
the eyebrows.
And let me know why you want me here, you know?
Oh yeah, that's nice.
Yeah, I think with acting, bro, it's
is that a legitimate question to ask in the room?
Like, I mean, I love when they tell me like who they're looking at me for.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like, I think I love this art form because it's such a collaborative, you know? Film is not as much because like you're just on set and then you have to do stuff. But like theater, we have so much time to like
Yeah.
Oh, did you think about it this way? And be like, no, I've never thought of it that way. Okay, let me try that. And Wolfie would be like, no, that's wrong choice. Yeah. Oh, that was a great choice. You know, like, there's so much of that. Like, we're creating the story together. But, yeah, tell me what you're looking for. And I can damn near do everything. And I think because I've done this for so long, I don't mind embarrassing myself.
Yeah.
How far do you want me to go? I can go there.
Right.
I can do it.
Yeah.
I can get
better naked? Better to be reeled back than to be said, can you keep pushing?
Yeah. So that's me. I think also before, I like to, I already said that, but like, you know, what story am I want to tell in these auditions? And I don't know, just have as much fun as I can. That's a barometer for me. I think I said earlier, if it makes me laugh in a self-tape, it's probably going to make them laugh. Or like a voiceover audition. I think it'll make them laugh.
Yeah. What question do you ask yourself now? What prompt do you give yourself now that you wish you had thought of earlier in your career? When for you're auditions? For auditions, approaching like a character, role, sides.
What do me and this character have in common?
Today is a weird day. It's just everybody's making loud noises outside.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What do me and the character have in common?
Oh, interesting.
Because I feel like most times I'm always like, oh, this character is real dark and like, oh, we have so much, you know, different. I'm building something. But it's like, once you find the similarities, it's easier to build from there. Mm-hmm. It's be like, oh, we both like cooking. Oh, we both have sarcasm. We both do, you know. And then from there, it's been like, oh, they just grew up on the East Coast. Okay. It's like, it's me, but just like an East Coast version.
Yeah. You
know, the more I find myself in these characters, the easier it is for me to like.
So you're laying the groundwork, the foundation, as it were.
Yeah.
On like an existing plot.
Of course.
I love that.
Yeah.
Proven, tried and proven.
I mean, I think it works for me.
Yeah.
Also, I wish early on I knew what people saw me as, like my archetype.
Your type.
Yeah. Because I feel like theater's messed me up where I feel like I can do everything.
Oh, yeah. We talked about that. You're
which
like,
is great.
I got this hat on. I got this hat on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, you know, when you're doing film and like even your voice, like I can only manipulate my voice so far. Mm-hmm. People hear me as a certain way. And it's good to know that stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. What about you? Something you wish you knew before auditioning?
You know, weirdly enough, I think breathing, like the strategy of building your breathing in the room.
Yeah.
Because when you're nervous, which many times when you walk into a room you are, and depending on where you are in your career, that nervousness is different, right? Like there's a nervousness of like, let's get this going, which where I am now.
Yeah.
Like let's small talk after.
Yeah.
Which I'm trying to be better about asking for at the very beginning when I get the sense of like, even if I know the director and they want to banter, I'm trying to be better about like, hey, let's get the work done real quick and then chat after.
Oh, wow.
And it's not. And the trying part is trying to find the language because everyone's going to react differently.
Yeah.
Of like, thank you. You know, it's like, thanks for having me here. Yo, you're like, what's up, man? Thanks for having me here. All right, where do you want me to start? Getting right on it. I'm like, I have both sides here. Which one would sound cool to hear? I worked on this one more. Like, I'm really upfront about like, I didn't work on these equally.
Yeah.
I don't have that time.
Yeah.
Like, but I really enjoy this. Do you want to start there? And then when it's done, get the gauge of, okay, are we in a conversation now? Like, what's the mood? Because you know, we talk about like winning the room. And I think sometimes winning the room means just being confident about your work.
Yeah.
Right? And it's not about small talk. Because some people don't react well to that or they've been doing it all day. I try to schedule my auditions after lunch. So they've eaten. You know, and they're in a different frame of mind from
they're not thinking about food.
They're not thinking about like, you know, well, what are you gonna, yeah, they're not thinking about food. But sometimes when the schedule runs over, they haven't had lunch yet, then you're effed.
Yeah.
So all these like things of what can I control? Sometimes you can control when you get scheduled because they'll ask you,
yeah,
what's your slot?
Yeah.
Or in this, in the case of when it was you and me, for this audition we were talking about earlier, the casting director knew that I would have to take public transportation. So it's like, hey, I've put you with so-and-so so you can see if you can catch a ride. I'm like, I love that. Like, yeah, yeah, yeah. Blessings.
Totally.
Thanks for being mindful about that stuff.
Totally.
But yeah, I think when I walk in that room, it's often about just saying, okay, I already spent a bunch of time on this part of the script working on this. How do I let that go and just breathe?
That's so interesting to me. The breathing, for sure. I could definitely take a note from your book in that. But I'm like, I'm at the mercy of everyone else when I go into their auditions. Like, I kind of treat it like I'm in their world, and I'm kind of like feeling out like what's their world. Yeah. I think that's my partner says is my superpower. I'm like such an observant person. Mm-hmm. Like, I'll walk into a room like a blank slate and be like, how'd these people react?
I'm also,
but you control the room. You're like, you're dictating the tide. You're like, hey, great. So what do you want me to say?
We both, I'm now realizing, you and I both share a very strong sense of observation.
Yeah.
And I think that's a skill that they don't teach you. They don't tell you up front at like acting school or whatever. Yeah, you just have to learn
and watch.
Just watch or listen.
Yeah, both.
I will say, as a caveat, I haven't auditioned on camera in a long time.
What do you mean? You just booked that commercial.
Oh, that's true. No, but like, there was no
lying to y'all.
There was no one else in the room but me.
Oh, I feel it. Right.
You know what I mean? There wasn't like,
all right.
I haven't auditioned for on camera with another person with a monitor or, you know.
Yeah.
Off to the side or whatever. I haven't done that in a while. Although I don't think it'd be too much more different.
Oh, you'd be good.
I strive to believe that I'm in the room for a reason.
Yeah, of course, right? You are.
Yeah, yeah. So I think part of the thought process of like owning the room, winning the room, you know, whatever the room needs kind of thing. And sometimes it's whatever you need. Yeah. Walking into the room. Yeah. Like right now, I got to get this work done.
I feel it. I think, yeah, part of the preparation for an audition is making sure you have everything you need to do the best you can. Whether that's sleeping, like they used to say, like for like tests, like make sure you just get a good amount of sleep before.
Hydrate.
Mm-hmm. Make sure you're as confident with the words as you can be, you know, the character choices. Yeah, that always makes me feel good, because if I'm off book going into an audition, I'm like, I can chat it up with people for like an hour before.
Yeah.
And just be like,
Drop me in. Yeah, yeah.
So I think I only trip when I'm like, oh, I barely looked at this. It's like a cold read.
Yeah.
I'm horrible at cold reads.
Are you really?
I hate it.
Oh, I love it.
Interesting. For me, it's because.
Somebody get us a script.
Yeah, no. I think it's for me, like, I always hated reading growing up and like popcorn reading. Like, yes. When teachers just put you on, like, I just need to read it once, just like to scan through it to be like, ah, this is that character. I can't discover it on while reading. I can't be like, that was a joke and I just missed it.
Which brings me to another question, or observation, I guess. Question. It's not unusual to be doing an audition. You do your thing and then they go, can you stay a little longer? Can you read this other one? That's technically cold reading. But they'll give you like time, right?
Yeah, but there has been so many times where they're like, can you also switch doing this character? And I'm like,
on the spot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm like, of course. Young actor me was like, yeah, of course.
Of course, of course, of course.
And then I'm just like butchering words and like just paraphrasing, because I'm like, I'm thinking of like choices rather than like focusing on like the text. And I'm like, I'm theater trained, so I try to honor the text as much as I can.
Of course.
But sometimes when I'm like honoring the text, I'm like, I sound monotone while I'm reading this, and I'm like, there's no personality.
Have you ever tried that where you just do it monotone loud? Not monotone.
No. Never done monotone loud.
Not monotone. Where you, how do I describe this? Because I've done it and it's worked. Where on like colder, I love
kind of.
Do I have a script in here somewhere? Oh my god, yes, because like I've done this at an audition where I've gotten a cold read, and I like cold reads, so when I get handed stuff, I just go,
yeah,
like I let the post sent a young woman who watched an entire movie about theater people, like I'm discovering it on the way.
That's not monotone at all.
Okay,
you're taking your time to emphasize words.
Well, that's why I took it back. I said not monotone. I mean, like, you let the choice.
This guy's full improv. I cannot do that. I can, but like I will be beating myself up.
Well, this is the thing. I think your booking rate is much better than mine.
But
your ratio's high, right? So like, so we both have the. I love that we both have the intent of like I want to go in there and have fun.
Yeah, and if things are like that far out of my control, I know I'm not gonna have fun.
There you go. Yeah,
I know I'm not.
Interesting.
Yeah. If people want me to do a reading, whatever, I'm just like I just need to read it before. Just give me like a couple hours before. Let me read the whole thing. Yeah. Give me a day before to read the script, understand what I'm doing, my character. Like
I think that is important. That is actually important. Is to read the whole script
if you can. 100%.
If you can, yeah.
To understand what part is your character helping bring out in the story, you're like, I have to be the butthole, so like everyone else would be like,
you gotta okay change. Thank you, that's a great question for you out there who are listening, who are like, what can I do in auditions to make my audition stand out more? Is when you read the script, ask yourself, why is this character here? Not even like what this character want, that's a given, you have to know that, but like, why? What role does this role play in the story?
In the story as a whole.
Yes. Yeah. That's the thing about scary about getting side sometimes. It's like, oh man, it's all my lines or whatever. Or none. You're just reacting. Yeah. But you have to read the whole script to understand like, oh, okay, in this whole machine of a story, what role, what importance does the role have, right? Like,
and going off that, if you're understanding, like if you have like size and you're like, oh, I only have one line, just know that does not mean you're not acting through the whole script. You have to make sure you're reacting to like what's going on.
Stay active.
Yeah. And it's even in film too, like they might be like, can we get your reaction shot? And like you might be like, oh, that I did think that was funny from that character, but I didn't think about that was funny until you watch after, and you're like, oh, I should have been reacting to that. It's like,
right,
you're always present here in the moment. Yeah.
That reminds me of two things. One, when you're directing kids, or if you remember being as a kid and seeing your classmates, oh, it's not my line, and they just go slack.
Yeah.
Or like they're like looking elsewhere, whatever.
Yeah.
No, that's okay. Hang on.
Yeah, yeah. Gotta be.
And recently in that movie Air with.
Oh, I just saw that.
Yeah.
Great movie.
It was lovely, right? Better than Moneyball, I thought.
Yeah.
During the press circuit, Ben Affleck and Matt Damon were reflecting on their like life together, career. And one of the Ben Affleck says something like, you know, one of the things I love about Matt is the fact that like at any given time, when you're editing this movie, you can always cut to him because he's always doing something. So like if the main action isn't like working, you can always cut to Matt because he's always reacting to something. So it still works.
I love that.
And I'm like, yeah, that's, you're giving the editor this like incredible palette.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, never drop character, never like zone out. Something you were saying about sides that an acting teacher told me was like, also think about why they chose those sides.
Oh, wow. That's a great one. Why did they choose these sides?
It's like, oh, is this like the big breakthrough that we need to see a shift between your character? Is this like the big breakdown? How mad can you be? Like what? Why? Why this scene in for particular? Yeah, for this character.
Yeah, because you'll see other sides and your character's in it.
Yeah.
But that's not given to you. You're like, exactly. What is that?
Interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting.
That's a great question to approach an audition. Why these sides?
Yeah. Shout out Charles at the Storytellers Conservatory.
I love that.
Y'all looking for acting classes on Zoom? Charles is the man.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah.
We need to compile these great questions because there's some, you know, they kind of come to us here and there, but that's one of them. Why these sides?
He actually has like 9 questions to go through every.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, shoot. We should have an episode where we talk about those 9 questions.
I would love to bring them on when we do like Zoom ones or whatever. Yeah. 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 What about you? Because I feel like you're more a character actor than I am. Mm-hmm. I would love to be, but I feel like people don't see me as that. Mm-hmm. How do you
create? They see you characters? As one type, I guess.
Yeah.
Interesting.
I feel like I'm a one type guy.
I recently heard that when they think of me, they think of like someone who is out of the box.
Yeah.
And
I never know what I'm getting in the box.
Yeah.
What I just
But love. They always will provide something, right? And that brought me a sense of comfort in that, like, Oh, I guess that maybe that's a result of the fact that I didn't go through like a conservatory, or I didn't get proper training, or that the things that I watched growing up, the things that I read were kind of all over the place. There wasn't a central theme. So that's the result, is just this kind of like, I'm pulling from all of these weird places. What's your question?
How do you create characters, Mr. All Over the Place? Because you do that in improv. Sometimes you don't know and you just like grab something and you go. And I'm like,
yeah. I think my process for that is external and then work inwards. Ooh. So
say more.
Yeah. So think of it like dance, right? Or movement. So tempo, rhythm, cadence, volume, size. So those five things. So when you're like thinking of character, those physical aspects, then hopefully in the process of doing that triggers your internal side. So like if I have these ideas about something that somehow is in my mind, but I can't, something, you know, when you're in the shower, something comes to you and you're like, I wasn't even thinking about that. That's what I'm hoping for when I'm doing the physical stuff, is that those choices that are in there innately gets like summoned up. Mm. Like, ting, that's the, like in the Matrix with the gun, like, that I'm in a position where I'm doing something physically, and then that comes, and then that's the inorganic choice that happens. Mm. I could always be better at that. I can always make it sharper. I can always make it conjure newer stuff. But deciding on like, oh, this character is small and moves this way and talks this way, very melodic, and oh, welcome, you know, to, hey, get out of here, I don't want nothing. Just breath, right? All of these are things you can control. And all of these are things that you can practice. And sometimes it's really, you know, when you see kids doing it and their parents like, stop that. It's like, oh, man, that sucks.
Yeah. That's a good choice.
How can you keep this child from not doing that? Because maybe the place is inappropriate to do that, but also encourage them that that's okay to do, just maybe not here.
Yeah.
Right. It's a tricky thing. And I feel like my parents never stopped me from being a weird kid that I'm aware of. I think they just let me go. I think they just accepted that I was different from my brothers.
That's good.
And that was enough for them.
Aww.
Yeah. Because they, owe, like, even now, they're like, yeah, you're different from your brothers. You're kinder and, like, gentle is what I think they used. But, yeah, I mean, reading the script, also then you got to go, okay, yes, I can control, like, tempo, rhythm, size, volume. What's most appropriate for this?
Yeah, true.
Because, like you said, where does this character fit in the story? If it's slapstick, then yes, you got to stretch those sliders. I think of it like a video game. You know, the character creator, slide all the way to one side and see what that looks like.
Yeah.
But if it's like when I did 3 Days of Rain, which is very like character driven, it was like calibrating that. Oh yeah, this character is this way because he's got stutters, right? Which then now like, oh, I gotta get my breath in. It's like singing. I gotta get my breath in at the right place so I can do that next part. But through that, then I was thinking, oh, now it's insecure about stutter. So now I'm closing in. I'm shy. I don't wanna reveal something to you. So those are small things that like, if at the end of the day, that's not what they're looking for, you brought your toolkit. You made strong choices about something.
Strong and wrong, baby.
Strong and wrong. And you can be like, that's not what they're looking for. You know? But that was the story you wanted to tell about this character. So.
You guys just got a master class with Tossie. Sheesh.
I don't know about that.
Yeah, I do. I'm inspired.
Okay. Yeah, give it a shot.
I love hearing different ways people create characters, bro.
This is that thing of when you were saying about, Dal was saying about improv. Physical improv I can do. Verbal improv I have a harder time doing because I'm not.
Opposite.
I don't have that gift of gab in that way.
I don't think of jokes or anything in improv. I think of like, where is the story going? How can I support my partner to make them look good of the choices you made? Yeah. Like if you made an insecure choice, I'd be like, I hate birds. And maybe that's why you're scared. Yeah. Because like
birds.
Yeah, exactly.
Did you see birds?
I try to just be like, where are we going? Mm-hmm. How can I throw things to you? And like, where are we going with this story?
Make your partner look good.
Yeah.
Yeah, always. Always. That's a great thing. Make your scene partner look good. Even if your scene partner is a
good.
Yeah, even if your partner is a reader.
Yeah.
Oh, which is a whole other time. Oh my God.
Readers, yeah. Sometimes readers will give you nothing, so just prepare for that. But it's always a blessing when they give you choices.
A little bit, yeah.
Just a little bit.
Yeah.
So we need.
I don't think it's their. Bit. Yeah, I don't think it's fully their job to go whole hog.
No,
because it's not
whole hog.
Yeah, whole hog about it, you know. But it's not unusual for a director to be like, "Yo, you did such a good job. Why don't you audition now?"
Yeah.
To a reader.
Yeah.
Because you're invested and you're.
Yeah.
You know your part in the story, yeah. Right? The audition story.
How do you memorize lines?
Mostly repetition at times. I think that's like the first impulse is just to go over it. And then the next layer really is to just understand what's happening in the scene.
Yep.
And then the next layer is to understand why this character is trying to tackle this problem this way.
Yeah.
I think it's that too. It's like identifying, well, what's the problem?
Yeah. What's the conflict?
Yeah.
There's always conflict in every scene.
Yeah. That's put yourself in the other character's shoes and improv the lines back.
Yeah.
Is one way I've done it. Yeah. Where it's like, okay, if I said this line and I was the another character in the scene, I would react this way. What would I be challenging this other character to like, what are you fighting for, man? Like, why are you talking? Right? So that's one. How about you?
Number one, I always write. I read the scene, the story, the script, and then whatever sides they give me, I always write them down.
Mm-hmm.
But not just my lines, I write my scene partner's lines.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Then I think of my objective, and then I also think of the other scene partner's objective. Like if I was going to play that character, what else? Because that makes my conflict stronger.
Mm-hmm.
If I just know mine,
yeah.
And then if I go in the room and they have like the same objective, I'm like, this is not working.
Yeah.
But if I know they're trying to, I don't know, put me down and I'm trying to inspire you, it's like, it's funny because we're
conflict.
Both going two different ways. So, that's something I do. And then I think I do the same thing. I cover my line and I read the other person's and like, what would I say? And like, see how similar they are.
Yeah.
And be like, oh, there's a difference. They say, okay. And I say, okay. You know, like, two different
Again, ways. that's tempo, right?
Yeah, speed, a little tempo, a little speed. Also, there's a thing that a different acting teacher taught me about, like, what are they reacting to? Are they reacting to stuff that they keep referring back to in the past? Are they reacting to your current thing? Or are they reacting to what they said? Are they continuing?
Oh, yeah.
Like, where are they going? To show, like, how selfish is the character?
Yes.
Like, keep being like, well, as I was saying, like if they keep going,
why are they doing that?
Why they're doing it? You know? Yeah,
understanding.
Mm-hmm. And then what else do I do? I mean, I try to get physical with it, but that's more for theater, you know, when it's in your body.
I'm definitely a kinesthetic learner.
Me too. I mean, if I can do, but with film, it's kind of hard.
I'll praise you in this moment we had a few years ago where at my old studio you came by and you're like, I gotta audition like. I got to put down this audition. I'm like, okay, I'm down to help. He's like, okay. And as I was setting up, you were sitting there memorizing lines. And then when we rolled, you were like 98%. And I was like, dang, you just got these. Like, that's just such a skill to.
You know, that's something Roman was saying. He's like, how do you memorize so quick? I'm like, same thing with improv. Where am I going with the story? What's the intention? I just need the trigger words. Like, what? Yeah. Oh yeah, that's off that. I'm like,
yeah.
And most of the times, if it's a quick turnaround, I give myself all the permission to mess up the line as long as the intention is there.
Right.
Because I remember something an acting teacher told me is like, the moment before is super important.
Mm-hmm.
Like, don't go into a scene just like, activate as soon as you.
You should have already been on somewhere.
If somebody cut into your life right now, you were doing something right before.
Oh, totally.
So it's like, always remember like where you were starting from and like you're always doing something, whatever that is, and like ending strong. Start strong and end strong. So if you can't memorize anything, memorize your beginning, like how you walk into a scene and your first line, and then memorize the end. Have a strong ending. Yeah. And then sometimes I like to put a little button at the very end of like stuff because
you're still going.
Yeah, and I'm editing it. So like maybe I like it, maybe I don't, you know, but why not?
Yeah.
Or start off like conversation, be like, yeah, I'll talk to you later.
Yeah.
it's you, you know?
Yeah, like, walk off frame because he's something got your attention, yeah, or acknowledge something. Yeah, 100% when you're doing it on camera.
And maybe that's why I like self-tapes, because I have this frame that I can play with so much.
Yeah.
And I can always like pretend like I'm pulling something.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
I have
permission, man. Exactly. The frame is just another storytelling tool.
Yeah.
So whatever you can place in it or out of it is valid.
Because miming sometime in theater auditions is like frowned upon, I feel like. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
I feel like I've done it a couple
of times. I've definitely done it.
You know? I think where it warrants it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because they don't, you know, there's a shark. Well, can't provide a shark, yeah, on stage. Let me go back real quick about the memorizing thing.
Yeah.
Because there are exceptions, right? For example, well, not exceptions, but when I was doing that one person play, that was a Herculean task of memorizing.
Like 70 pages?
60? Well, 60-ish. Plus, like, there are parts of it that it's just improv, right? Yeah. So the challenge became, how do I get back to the scripted stuff after an improv bit and still make it feel like it's the same thing? Yeah. That was incredible challenge. But that one, I feel like I used every trick in the book for myself. I had cue cards that I was reading here and there.
Wow.
I think the thing that really helped, though, was one, repetition, but also in our bedroom, I printed out like 10 pages of the script and just posted on one of my walls. And every time I got up in the morning, or every time I walked in and out of the room, I would read parts of it.
Man, that's great.
And I wouldn't read chronologically too. Like maybe in the morning I would read the first like 3 pages, just scan. But when I would walk in and out, I would always hop to a different page.
Mm.
That way, anytime, at any place, I can go from any part of the script.
To the end.
Yeah. To the end. That's, I can go great. Forward, backward, you know, repetitiously that way. And I worked through 60 pages that way.
That's great. That's actually a trick that I use that I didn't mention. I break scenes into sections.
Mm. Chunking.
Yeah, I chunk it.
Chunking,
The Bruno Mars song.
Chunk it.
But yeah, break it down, because usually a scene is not talking about the same thing the whole time.
Correct.
You know? It's like, maybe it's the intro, and then we're talking about like, oh, somebody's relationship, you know? Oh, we're talking about job. You know, I'll cut it into like multiple sections so I can just like drill one section,
mm-hmm,
and then go from that section to the next.
Mm-hmm.
Drill that and slowly go. So when I'm like acting with you, because sometimes, you know, we might be so lost in the moment, I'll be like, they're about to talk about their relationship.
Yeah.
Like, I can be there as the person to know, like, we're in the relationship section. You'll be like,
team effort.
Yeah, team effort.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I feel like we can have multiple episodes of this, and we might. But
I'll go first. You want what?
Oh, I was going to ask you, we've gone through the beginning stages of an audition. We've gone through kind of like things you can do in the middle. Do you have any post audition rituals, ways to like shed that like stress, or celebrate the fact that you finished one?
Anytime I'm in LA, I gotta get some good food after.
Mm.
If I traveled all the way to LA, I'm getting some bomb tacos, some bomb something, hopefully with a friend's recommendation.
Yeah, yeah,
I'm eating after,
yeah,
and having a good time. Or like, didn't we get food after the Mystery?
We did. We went to Mendocino Farms.
See, that's what I'm saying. Like, I gotta celebrate with like the post nourishment. If it's a self-tape, like
that's going to be my rap name, Post Nourishment.
Post Nourishment.
Look out, Post Malone.
Yeah,
Post Nourishment. Post Nourishment is here.
I think there's a little bit of me that does get the vulnerability hangover when you just put yourself out there and you're like, ugh, it's in the world. There's nothing I can do.
Wow. But I never thought about that way. Vulnerability hangover.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, I got that from a book somewhere.
That's really good.
And I think I just try to, you know, stay positive, because like, what if? You know, what if, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, think good thoughts and then I move on to something else, because I can't keep my mind occupied
on that
too much, or else then I get into the sad space.
Right.
What about you?
Same.
Exactly the same.
I take a deep breath, calibrate the space, and I get something to eat.
Yeah.
In the last few auditions, because they've been in SF, like the downtown area, it's always like super duper burger. I'll get a small burger and like a shake.
I had the habit for the first time the other day.
What'd you think?
Really good. Their Santa Barbara burger?
Yeah.
Fire. Santa Barbara chard?
Uh-huh.
Great. Right. Because that's where they're based out of. Yeah.
Oh, so they got to show up.
Yeah. That was great. I was going to say, you know, we can have a whole episode talking about this and more. We're going to have so many actors on this podcast in future seasons, so we'll be able to get down to the nitty-gritty.
I'm also actually interested in having someone that's, like, just now starting have questions about auditions. Because there might be things you and I haven't thought about.
Totally.
Because we just either have never thought about it or have never had to think about it for a while. Or just do it instinctively, because everyone's instincts are different. So.
Totally.
And maybe, you know, I'd be a fool to think that we couldn't learn something from someone just starting.
I think we're all students and teachers. Always.
Always. Always. Good place to be.
Yee. I'm David Morales. You can find me everywhere at Active Poet.
And I'm Tossi Alabastro. You can find me everywhere at Tossi Alabastro.
And this is our podcast.
Art Time Job.
Reminding you to make time for your art.
Mm-hmm. Find us on Instagram.
Yeah.
Or social media.
At the Art Time Job podcast. Yeah.
Have fun at your next audition.
Yeah, or creating your next character. And let us know some of your things, your processes, and if you have tips that we didn't say. Or you have other questions. If you have questions you want to ask us, we'll answer them.
Even if we lie.
Even if we lie, as actors tend to do.